invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Call River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Yes, this is a live program. Yes, it is the second day of March 2012. Yes, I'm Bob Kincaid. And yes, I'm back from Washington, D.C. My, we have begun on an affirmative note this evening, haven't we? Man, it's good to be back. Wow, is it good to be back. Trips like this are like the one I've just returned from, are necessary. But, Lord, they're tiresome. No, this is not the part where we queue up, or maybe we do. Hang on. Maybe that would be funny. Probably not, but we'll find out. Oh, good. I don't have it. So this is not the part of the program where we queue up, turn the page, and I moan and groan about being on the road. It's just good to be back. And rest assured that being away from the microphone is nothing that I relish. Generally, when I leave, it is a function of taking care of things that have to be taken care of in terms of advocacy regarding the ongoing, daily, hourly assault on Appalachia. And that's where I was this time through. I'm proud to announce that we have kicked off a new campaign. And I'm part of it. It is called the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign. Yes, that spells something. We try to do these things and make them spell something so they're easy to remember. It's the ache campaign because there is, in fact, an ache in Appalachia. A deep and persistent one. And shortly before departure, there were some stories hitting on the wires that were oddly apropos of this new, that made this new campaign apropos in its own right. Over at at Nonprofit Quarterly, an article discussing the moribund state of affairs of the so-called environmental movement, and the story at Nonprofit Quarterly noting that the environmental movement has reached a place where the author of that story described it as having stalled out, which is true. Just is. And David Roberts wrote about it over at Grist as well, this article, that points out that the great majority of funding that goes into environmental causes goes from funding grantors into the war chests of the so-called big greens, the giant organizations that are national in scope, instead of funding people working on the ground to do these things. It's very much true, I can assure you. So we decided to kickstart it. By we, I'm talking about a little group of affiliated organizations from Coal River Mountain Watch, the Mountain Health and Heritage Association, and Christians for the Mountains, and probably another joining soon. And we called our campaign the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign because of the fact that there is now a growing body of scientific evidence that these relentless, remorseless pursuers of nothing but profit are poisoning people throughout the Central Appalachian coal acquisition sacrifice zone. Folks are dying here, getting killed for 1% profits. And in the absence of anyone really doing anything in Washington, D.C. about that, several folks from these various organizations came together to try to change that dynamic. And so it was that we left here on Monday and returned yesterday and spent the interim traipsing all over Capitol Hill trying to focus on the data relating to this burgeoning health crisis. We spoke to administrative agencies of the Obama administration and were warmly received. And we went into several congressional offices and met with some organizational allies who are helping us as we move forward with this plan. Because simply put, not to do this is to abandon everyone from our elderly to our unborn to the tender mercies of a coal industry that gives not a tinker's damn about what happens here outside their ability to make obscene profits. So that's where I was. And that is where I will be going back. It will happen periodically, not next week, but probably the week after, or possibly the week after. And I will definitely be in D.C., although there will be broadcasting involved. I'll definitely be in D.C. the week of the 26th of March. So, you know, that's just a program note. But February is mercifully over. For the shortest month of the year, it certainly seems like the longest in getting gone. And as usual, it seems, I don't know, it's like some sort of madcap, wacky, screwball television comedy that whenever I leave the microphone, all hell breaks loose. I got up yesterday morning to return back here to the hills and hollers of West Virginia and checked my email. What? Huh? Really? Because there was the news that Andrew Breitbart had gone to his long home. And like many others, I thought, this is either The Onion or some other kind of hoax. Because evil doesn't usually leave that quickly. Witness, for instance. Oh, I don't know. Rush Limbaugh. But no, it was true. And he is, you know, cue up the munchkins. He's dead. And in the interest of trying to be a halfway decent human being, I will restrain my remarks to the fact that Andrew Breitbart is dead. Man, it's a struggle. I mean, how do you restrain yourself from a guy who refers to, say, Senator Ted Kennedy upon his passing as a prick, because that was the word that Andrew Breitbart used on Senator Kennedy, but upon his grieving family. He was a prick. How do you not return that in kind? You see the dilemma? Yeah. Apparently, the L.A. coroner has ordered an investigation into the death. I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows for the time being, at least, what it was that brought on his death. but you can say generally that when one has a heart attack in one's late 30s or early 40s, they're generally the terminal kind. But the hagiography has begun, and boy, is it a Lulu. He is being Andrew Breitbart is being reinvented in death as even more obnoxious than he was in life, to say the least. I've got an example. Got an example here that's exemplary. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Now, this is Andrew Breitbart we're talking about, remember? This is written by someone by the name of J. Christian Adams. I suppose the god of irony would be working overtime if, in fact, his name was Jesus Christian Adams, but too much to hope for, really. But he goes on writing about what a wonderful human being Andrew Breitbart was. And he closes thusly with a degree of praise that certainly doesn't fall within the rubric of any Mark Antony speech. You know, I come here not to praise Caesar, but to bury him. This is, after all, the month of March, and the Ides are on the way. Dang it, he only missed it by 14 days. But this was enough to bring up breakfast. Hello, Steel Cut Oats. You're not nearly as pretty the second time around. Andrew Breitbart was an American who ignored the personal pain to defeat the enemies of liberty and justice, like the patriots at King's Mountain or the righteous at a Greensboro lunch counter. And that makes him a great American. No, really, old Bob didn't make that up. That was put into print today by, what's his name? J. Christian Adams. Referring to the great Andrew Breitbart. Really, the Patriots at King's Mountain? I'm guessing J. Christian Patriot or J. Christian Adams or whatever doesn't know much about the Battle of King's Mountain, because if he did, he would know that those noble patriots at King's Mountain were a bunch of pissed-off hillbillies who were liquored up out of their minds, because they were, and they did put a whoop-ass on the Redcoats, and they did so having been brought together more under the banner of leave us the hell alone than let's save the new republic. Andrew Breitbart was an American who ignored the personal pain to defeat the enemies of liberty and justice, like the patriots at King's Mountain or the righteous at a Greensboro lunch counter. And that makes him a great American. No, I sincerely wish I was kidding, but I'm not. And it goes on like that. As do the conspiracy theories. I guess that addict and gold line huckster Beck was hollering about conspiracies, and well, they've gotten him, and of course that stuff was going out over the in the Twitter sphere as well. The liberals have killed Andrew Breitbart. And load of wing nuts, we're not the ones who do that kind of thing. See bragging of President of College Republicans 2004 over we had to kill Paul Wellstone, but we got the Senate seat. Et tu, Robert? Actually, that would be et tu, Robertus. Yeah, just say it. I mean, you got to work within the Latin motif, Marty. Our buddy Dr. John from New York writing says, seems clear to me, death by bile, so much hate his body rejected itself, or too much crank and kiddie porn. And see, that's the nice thing. I always know I can count on you guys. No, but I don't know. Little cokey cokey, maybe? Little snorty snort? Little tweaky tweaky? Yeah. By the way, this I said tweaky tweaky, and that made me think of the little robot creature in the Bad Buck Rogers TV series of a couple of decades back, and that, I found out something interesting while traversing the hallways of the Rayburn House office building. As you walk out of the restroom, there's a sign saying, if this restroom is in need of attendance or service, please call. And it gave a phone number, and it said, reference R3D5. I had no idea that the federal government was in the possession of the R3 units. Most of us are still getting along on the R2s, even people who destroy Death Stars. So there's our first Star Wars reference of the evening. No, it's just the little things that catch you. When describing the situation, make reference to R3-D5. I guess even our... I don't know. It was the house side, so I guess John Boner can't even make the... restrooms work, because while in there, I noticed, you know, those nice little paper towel dispensers? No. In the Boner-administered House of Representatives? Not so much. Just rolls of paper towelage left sitting on sinks. Stay classy, John Boner. I don't know. Maybe they haven't downloaded the installing rolls into the dispenser module for the R3D5s lately. Just say R3D5. Yes, Aaron Gray in the tight unis was the best part of that program, Marty, without a doubt. Yeah, Jim, you're right. Andrew Breitbart eulogy. Kind of sounds like Hitler's eulogy for Hangman Heydrich, the Butcher of Prague. Does it not? And it does. It does indeed. But anyway, we did great work, I think, in Washington, D.C., because, among other things, we pointed out that while there's been a great deal of emphasis on water issues here in Appalachia, which are rightly placed, water is not the only thing that is poisoning us. It's in the air, too. It's in what happens when you put an electrical charge into a mixture of ammonium nitrate and diesel fuel. Because it all doesn't burn up. Some of it just gets micro... aerosolized into titsy bitsy teensy weensy particles that your lungs have no way of rejecting or resisting or expelling. And they go down and they build up in your body, and then bang, one day some doctor looks at you and says, I'm sorry, you have cancer, emphysema, you name it. Because it seems like we've got the whole panoply of disease in this region. But I left and all kinds of stuff happened. I left and Bro-Fro-Mix, the frothy one, doubled down on his statement of a couple of years ago, saying, yes, indeed, that John F. Kennedy did, in fact, make him want to vomit when he talked about separation of church and state. I can't leave. I don't know. I feel like Odysseus of old, who needs to be strapped to the mast of the ship so that I can hear the siren song without running the horn vessel onto the rocks or getting caught between Scylla and Charybdis. That's a second classical reference tonight, too. Wow, this could be an interesting Friday on the front porch, without a doubt. It is, by the way, Friday on the front porch. It's 20 minutes past the hour as we wind up the week here. A week of reruns for both of us, but one live show just to finish things off. Friday on the front porch, and even though storms are blowing through the center of the Midwest, or even... We gotta do something about our geographic designations in this country. We just gotta. We can chase down a couple of shingles in the yard earlier today. Even with that going on, we can still mosey on up onto the front porch and kick back. You know, the flowers will soon be blooming. It is, in fact, March, and I have all the anticipation of spring. And given the weirdness of winter that we have just had, I'm also waiting for the other shoe to drop, because somewhere around the Ides of March, probably, we'll get 6 feet of snow, because that's the way winters usually run when they go with this kind of a cycle. We can hope not, but it's likely. And there's been all kinds of flooding around here. Folks have been checking, because just this past Sunday, of course, was the 40th anniversary of the Buffalo Creek disaster, when, although it had been repeatedly warned by people who lived in the neighborhood, another coal company in another age, 1972 to be precise, callously and indifferently allowed heavy rains to overcome a sludge dam, which broke. And it was only a few million gallons, not the billions of gallons that fill sludge dams today in Appalachia. But the sludge dam at Buffalo Creek let go and sent a wall of toxic waste down that holler, killed 125 people, and dispossessed thousands more. And they didn't stop. They didn't stop strip mining then either. No. No. And so we went with a sense of mission and a sense of purpose. And even a sense of hope that we will yet prevail. But the rains have pounded here in West Virginia, as well as in eastern Kentucky, East Tennessee, southwestern Virginia. And when rains come this hard, folks begin to worry. Because if a sludge dam gets overtopped, game over, because those things liquefy in a darned hurry. Heavy rains coming, I always worry about. And then, you know, earlier in the week, a 3.4 magnitude earthquake, right hard close by the Brushy Fork impoundment that holds back 9.8 billion gallons of toxic waste. From which there is no escape for anyone living below it. Those 9.8 billion gallons that would cause unleash a wall of toxic waste somewhere between 40 and 60 feet high that would sweep 100 miles down the river valley and scrub the entire thing of all life, because there are no 40-foot high buildings anywhere in the... No, none. Yeah. And of course, I come back home, and here we have these 3 days now. 3 days of that multimillionaire professional broadcaster, Rush Limbaugh, engaged in a sleaze fest that is shocking, even measured by the low standards to which one would make reference to him. I mean, really. Slut? Rush? Using that word? When he has taken money to do to the body politic what he has done for decades now? You know, I was having a conversation with my head writer, David, in Tennessee, and he remarked that if you watch the Limbaugh cam any time in the last couple of weeks, that Rush is sweating and shaking and basically is looks like he's trying to get through 3 hours without a fix. I'd say it's a fair bet that Rush is back on the junk if he ever really got off it. And that might explain some of the comments and the fact that he refuses to back down. His junkie brain is in control now. It doesn't bear a lot of going into simply because it is so hateful, and I'm not inclined to give him a hell of a lot of free PR out of this, even with a progressive audience that already despises him. But you know, of course, that he has assaulted verbally Sandra Fluke for having the temerity to speak up for women's rights to access to birth control. It began with him referring to her as a slut. It has continued through him suggesting that she gets paid for sex, and suggesting that she needs to stop having so much sex so she won't need so much of that there birth control. Kind of goes to show that Rush doesn't understand just a hell of a lot about female anatomy nor modern birth control methods, because one may take a birth control pill day in, day out at the same time every day. It's generally recommended to do it that way. You don't want women taking it don't need to be smoking, because there's a connection between heart disease and stroke risk and smoking with the birth control pill. But it doesn't matter if you have sex one time or a million times. It's not like the birth control pill wears out somewhere on coital interlude number 622. Nonetheless, this professional broadcaster, this genius of the airwaves, is suggesting that less sex would mean a need for less birth control access. Pregnancy control access. This is just one sleazy little example of what he's been up to.
Someone comes forth with this, frankly, hilarious claim that she's having so much sex, and her buddies with her, that she can't afford it. And not one person says, well, did you ever think about maybe backing off the amount of sex that you have? Do you ever think maybe it's your responsibility for your own birth control, not everybody else's? Nobody raises those questions. Amazingly, when there is the slightest bit of opposition to this new welfare entitlement being created, then all of a sudden we hate women. We want them barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, all of these other things. And so that's where we are. And now, the end of this week, I am the person that the women of America are to fear the most.
You see, this ignorant pustule, I guess, is equating the way that his Viagra works with the way that contraception in pill form works. Because every time Flush wants to have sex, he has to take a little blue pill. You know, this really does kind of go to the fact, I think, that little Rusty Limbaugh doesn't have a lot of meaningful experience in the having sex with women department. I just can't imagine that he was... I've seen pictures of him when he was Jeff Christie on the radio with half my brain tied behind my back. And, you know, you just look at him and go, that guy's not doing any good at all on the weekends. Because how dense do you have to be to think that contraception is something that a woman takes every time she has sex if she doesn't want to get pregnant? That's pretty... it's pretty ignorant, isn't it? But that's what you. But that's professional broadcasting from the Republican right. But it is nice because it is proving to be motivational for a lot of folks on our side. Who have put a great deal of pressure, and you may remember our buddy Angelo, who was operating at Twitter under the moniker of Stop Beck. Well, now he's got a new handle at Twitter, and I urge you to follow him, Stop Rush. And there is some significant success being had. Because, among other things, three of his advertisers have bailed out. How's about that? Pro Flowers has not yet. Which I find more than a little bit weird, because of all the people that advertise on Flush Flimball, you would think that, hey, guys, you know, Mother's Day's coming up, and you want to make sure that you remind that special lady in your life how much you appreciate all the time she's put into family and nurturing. That's where Pro Flowers comes in. Whether it's your wife or your mother or your sister, every woman appreciates getting flowers. And when you order flowers from Pro Flowers, just put Rush in the box at the promo code portion of the checkout, and you'll get 10% off your current order. Really? That's what... I can't see that being a really, really cool marketing strategy. I just can't. That's a sick too far. And our buddy Michael, also known as Kid A from the chat room, shot me a note on the Facebook earlier today. You know, it was our buddy Michael who first coined the phrase "bro fro mix" for brother frothy mixture that we use to describe Rick Santorum. Michael's good that way. And given his current conduct, a new name has been coined by Michael for America's Truth Detector, Flush Flimball. To wit, and I've already used it as a hashtag, and I certainly hope it catches on. Feel free to use it yourself on the Twitter. Jabba the Slut. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Michael writes, so Jabba the Slut is in his third day now of defending his vicious attacks against Sandra Fluke, an ordinary American woman and college student who chose to speak up on a public policy issue. Jabba has called her a slut, a prostitute, said she should tape herself. Yeah, he did this. Said she should tape herself having sex and post it online for him to watch. And he's now mocking President Obama for calling her to support her and see that she was all right. Michael continues, I'm waiting, Jabba. Ritual seppuku. Quit stalling. I sincerely believe, and I am not being satirical, that this viciously and repeatedly shaming, verbally raping of an innocent woman on 600-plus radio stations is something that anybody with even the smallest, scummiest shred of a human soul ought to kill themselves over, were they to suddenly look in the mirror and contemplate what they'd done. I do not want an apology. I want Jabba's suicide now. And I will join in that. That would be appropriate. The problem, Michael, being that it's appropriate if the said Jabba the Slut had anything resembling a conscience. But he doesn't. He's a junkie who's junked up and is talking junkie talk. I sincerely hope that Ms. Fluke is carrying on conversations with really mean trial lawyers right now. Because, you see, she's not a public figure. Just because you testify before Congress does not make you the kind of public figure in which tawdry comments are immunized under the old Supreme Court doctrine of New York Times versus Sullivan or its updated progeny, Falwell versus Hustler. It's not. And Flush Flimball has acted as if she is that kind of public figure. But she isn't. You know, it's bad enough to say this kind of thing, but to double down and then the following day triple down and then the following day quadruple down on the hateful comments you've made, that's indication, I would suggest that it should be put to a jury as indication of the spirit of hatefulness, the malice of forethought that attended the comments. And in fact, that is why he's doubling, tripling, and quadrupling down, because he's in a corner. If he apologizes on air, then it's an admission of his wrongness. And at this point in time, he's even willing to shed advertisers over it. Having lost Quicken Loans, the Sleep Number system, and the Sleep Train, as well as the Cleveland Cavaliers. Still no word from ProFlowers.com. Yeah. By the way, anybody seen Mrs. Limbaugh lately? Just as a matter of curiosity, I fired up the Google earlier today and just, well, I typed in several different search terms for the present Mrs. Limbaugh. The latest reference I got was the announcement of their wedding in 2010. Otherwise, it was all crickets. It was as if she, I don't know, didn't exist. As if she had disappeared, perhaps, or, I don't know, fallen into a pit.
down the hole, you're looking up at me. You're cold and tired, that is easy to see. Lower the rope to you, a bucket down the line. Your membrane will be soft and smooth, and your heart will be mine. It rubs an ocean on its skin, or as it gets the hose again. It rubs an ocean on its skin, or as it gets the hose again. Yes, precious, it gets the
Rogers Limbaugh, please call home. Catherine Rogers Limbaugh, please call home. And by that we don't mean Rush's home. Somebody still loves you. God knows it's not Rush. Just nasty, nasty, nasty man that he is. sorry, John, that song... okay, that's seriously creeping me out. I'm trying to have a beer here! Reckon John's day off. Sandra noting, more Jabba the Slut. Look how he uses the commons. Because after all, there was, the bomb squad is part of the commons, you know. There was a bomb scare at Shea Limbaugh earlier today. And see, that's how it is when you're wrecked on the junk. Nothing's safe anymore. They're out to get you. You can. I remember reading a long time ago Philip K. Dick's famous dystopian future novel, A Scanner Darkly, in which the protagonist talks about having the coke bugs. You know, where you've just done so much that your skin begins to crawl. Much like apparently Flushes is beginning to crawl. The bomb scare at Rush Limbaugh's Florida mansion was triggered by an emergency room doctor from Pennsylvania. Don't get sick in Pennsylvania. Who mailed the radio host a wooden plaque outfitted with a digital photo display, a gift that prompted Limbaugh to call in law enforcement, which grew to include cops, bomb squad technicians, fire rescue workers, and even a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. It turns out that Dr. Eric Brader, age 54, mailed the package to Limbaugh at a post office box. After the parcel was brought back to Limbaugh's residence and run through an X-ray machine, standard policy for such mail, because he's got his own private X-ray machine, a Limbaugh property manager, that's the term we use for the person we give the $30,000 in the cigar box to, who brings back the, you know, oxy, observed what he believed to be some type of electrical computer device, wiring, and possibly a cell phone. See how it works? This is the... Oh, the liberals are trying to blow him up! They closed down streets in the Oxymoron's neighborhood. And then officials contacted Dr. Brader, who said, well, yes, he's America's truth detector. I sent it to him. Well, no, he didn't. He said that the package held a custom-made plaque fitted with a laser-engraved photo and an electronic picture frame. Get it. Dig this. It was a $200 prototype of the John Wilkes Booth Memorial Award that he sent to Limbaugh in hopes of getting Limbaugh's endorsement and potential revenue off of sales and use of said endorsement. He did say he was sorry. Somewhere in Pennsylvania, and I wish this report was a little bit more in detail, there is an emergency room doctor who wants to give out the John Wilkes Booth Award. Now, I just know I don't have to go into any detail of, you know, John Wilkes Booth. I did, two nights ago, walk past the Surratt House in Washington, D.C., however, where the beginnings of the conspiracy that wound up being the Lincoln assassination took place. In order to confirm Dr. Brader's story, they re-X-rayed the package and determined that it contained no explosive material. They then sliced the package open, and a Limbaugh representative was handed the contents. Oh, okay, here's the detail we were looking for. Do not get sick and go to Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so how many thousands of dollars of taxpayer money was wasted in the paranoid notion that somebody was out to bomb Rush Limbaugh, America's truth detector, with one half of his brain tied behind his back, talent on loan from God? Merciful God. Jim, Russian sex. I guess he doesn't worry about birth control, as his partners are generally inflatable. Don't bite them on the ear, Rush. They might fly out the window. Sandra, you mean the food taster? Yes. John noting, how sad to live in such perpetual fear, having to take such steps out of unreasonable terror. Wait a minute, no. He brings it on himself. F him. Yeah, we don't do this. This is not No. Our side doesn't bomb people. Ron and Raleigh noting, with regard to Michael's earlier suggestion, maybe not seppuku. I'd settle for the yakas as punishment for shameful behavior, the self-administered chopping off of the little finger in its presentation to the offended party. P.S. He ate her, Bob. Mrs. Limbaugh, please contact the authorities. A delighted stop it, man, to Jim from John. No, Texas Betsy, we don't x-ray the packages of math workbooks, no. Although, you know what, maybe oughta, because after all, that algebra, that's a Muslim math, it is. Mm-hmm. Probably terrorist, well, I certainly felt like I was being terrorized by algebra. Bill in Cleveland getting in on the act. John Wilkes Booth, Rush, break a leg. He'll be here all weekend. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Kathy in Arizona noting, about a year or so, a radio complex owned by a guy over in Bullhead City had a fire or was hit by lightning, and most or all of the stations that serve this area in northwest Arizona went off the air. It took weeks to get the various stations back on the air. They came back up one by one. The first one back on the air after a couple of days was the FM pop station. The last one, which took a month or more, was the AM station that carries Limbaugh and the other people in the right-wing echo machine. That station was not a priority. Clearly, the right wing is not pulling in the money anymore. But by no means is that all we have this evening. There's a bunch of other stuff out there. More than enough to keep us busy for the evening. And we'll get right to it. You know, of course, that the toll-free number is back in a big way. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Direct dial is 304-658-3333. And, of course, email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. We'll take a little break and come back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. I am joyfully back in the home studio here in almost level West Virginia. And it's Friday on the front porch. Like I said, get moseying. You can mosey, can't you? Thought so. I'm Bob.
Quit school when she was 17. Senator on TV called her welfare queen. Used to be daddy's little girl. Now she needs help in this mean old world. has cassette tapes in the bargain bin. Loves Carlene, Carter, and Loretta Lynn. Tries to have fun on a Saturday night. Sunday morning don't shine too bright. It's welfare music. Watch the baby dance to the welfare music. Will she ever stand a chance? Takes two to make three, but one ain't here still. Chasing women and drinking beer. Says nobody understands how he feels, but that don't pay them monthly bills. Angry fat man on the radio wants to keep his taxes way down low. Says there ought to be a law. Angriest man you ever saw. Baby, get up. Baby needs a drink from a loving cup. It's welfare music. Watch the baby dance to the welfare music. Will she ever stand a chance? Welfare music. Watch the baby dance to the welfare.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.doublegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
The hour to you, 7 p.m. here in the Eastern time zone. You know, I far prefer the Central time zone, I just do. But I guess I'm stuck with it for now. We will go to the phones. Light them up if you want to. The phone lines, that is. Or anything else you want to light up, do it. We're easy that way. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number if you want to save us a nickel, although we can pay the freight and are happy to if you need us to. That's fine by us. Just got a note from Shorty in L.A. A little... I mean, really? Headline... Rabbis push Obama to release convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard. The Israeli Council of Progressive Reform Rabbis are urging President Barack Obama to release convicted Israeli spy and American traitor Jonathan Pollard. According to a letter obtained by the Jerusalem Post, quote, "We Jewish leaders primarily base our request to you on the humanitarian compassion that unites us all. Mr. President, Pollard entered prison at age 30, and he now is close to 60. Yeah, I tell you what. Let's let out Jonathan Pollard right after we let out... I don't know. I can think of a... spuriously convicted American Indian leader who's been rotting away in prison for a few decades now. Thinking of Leonard Peltier. Tell you what, fellas, we'll let this traitor, who frankly was lucky not to get the death penalty, we'll let him out just as quick as Leonard Peltier sees the light of day. Because, you know, Leonard Peltier's actually a decent human being. Okay? So, yeah, just saying. But anyway. But thus we go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Cossack, what's happening, man?
I like the approach from the other side. Have you seen Matt Tevye's blog about that?
No.
Yeah. The title is Andrew Breitbart, Death of a Douche.
Well, that works.
And on the fact of his death, Kevin says, "Good. Fuck him. I couldn't be happier that he's dead."
And see, that's nice. I know I can count on you guys. I mean, it wasn't one of those things where I said, you know what, that just makes me want to go out and open champagne at 7 o'clock in the morning or anything, but, you know, good riddance to bad rubbish. You know what I did not realize? You remember all those old game shows in the 70s that Orson Bean would show up on?
Yeah.
Remember Orson Bean cracking wise on, Match Game?
Yeah.
Orson Bean is Breitbart's father-in-law. And he said, he was like a son to me. Yeah, so I'm kind of off to the extent. Well, I hadn't thought about him in decades, but yeah, he's not on the No, sorry.
I can't feel sorry for a person of this personality dropping dead. If it hadn't rushed to Rush Limbaugh, I'd be thrilled.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, for Rush, I would dance. Probably naked. Probably in the yard. You got a write on Cossack from our pal Darlene. So yeah, she's with you.
But I mean, really, what kind of any situation is where you're supposed to feel sorry for someone who publicly?
Let's see. He also referred to Ted Kennedy as excrement.
Yeah, pile of excrement. Exactly.
So basically, this is one of those situations where he is dependent upon the kindness of strangers not to treat him as he treated others in life, but to extend to him a more charitable commentary than he ever extended to any of those he deemed political enemies. Let's remember, there are people, Cossack, who went on to be thrown out of their homes during the foreclosure crisis, which is, of course, ongoing, as a result of his participation in the sleazing and sliming of Acorn.
Exactly.
Which, as Brad Friedman noted, is you know, still one of the great scams of the earliest of the of these the opening decade of this century. There are people who are homeless because of him.
And he didn't care. And he didn't care.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't know this. Kim, writing from New York City, says, Orson Bean is supposedly a very conservative Christian who was active in the fight for Prop 8, so they're definitely like-minded bastards. Probably sat there liquored up screaming at each other in agreement. I hate him! I hate him more!
No, really,
I was trying to just be, you know, a little classy, but
I mean, how do you give the floor to really hideously obnoxious things like that without apology?
Precisely. Well, the fact of the matter, I mean, I was driving yesterday, so I turned on the AM band and hit scan until I heard Flush, and lo and behold, there he was holding four, you know, slutting along, and but I was waiting for 3 o'clock to hit, and there it was, that life support system for a haircut. The Hannity job, grieving for Breitbart, at which point I realized, oh, this looks like it's not a joke.
Yeah, well, when I first heard that, I, like you, thought it was a page from The Onion.
Yeah, I didn't believe it at first either. Yeah, Marty noting along the way, just don't waste your perfectly good time trying to find Breitbart's gravesite to waste your perfectly good wee on the grounds. Yeah, I'll leave that up to people with more time on their hands. Jim, you'll like this. Jim saying, I'm about as sorry for him as they were for Roy Cohn. Maybe they're cellmates in hell. And I'll go this far, Cossack. People like Andrew Breitbart make me wish there really was a hell.
Yeah.
And Ron and Raleigh asking a salient question. What I want to know is who's going to keep that sniveling little weasel James O'Keefe in energy drinks and snickerdoodles now that that horse's ass Breitbart has gone to his long dirt nap. But they'd had a split, I think, of sorts. But it will be, yeah. He's going to snickerdoodles. It's not every day you get an email referencing snickerdoodles.
I mean, honestly, who could?
Jay down in Yuma just wrote in and said, my, much of yesterday's political news pivoted around the death of caustic commentator Andrew Breitbart at the age of 43. Breitbart was considered by many on the left to be the scummiest of the scum floating on the toxic pond that is the Republicans who lie, cheat, and steal to move their agenda forward. The vast majority of the lefties offered no apologies for cheering the death of the Wicked Witch, proclaiming that the world in general, and the U.S. in particular, is a much better place as a result of Breitbart's untimely disappearance from it. However, Rachel Maddow may have made the most powerful comment of all. On her program tonight, she did not mention Breitbart at all. Nothing. Not a word. That silence spoke volumes. This person is or was not worthy of being discussed, period. And, yeah, score one for Jay, without a doubt.
I mean, it... It's like, you know, as Timmy says, if the reverse were true, Breitbart would be dancing on my grave.
Or just about anybody else's.
Yeah.
And remember that that lawsuit is still... Shirley Sherrod, I mentioned it before I left, Shirley Sherrod's... lawsuit got passed a motion to dismiss, so it was, you know, kept alive. You think maybe the realization of how deep he was in it might have created a little stress in his world?
Oh, I think so.
In which case, isn't this a matter of a self-inflicted wound of his own evil catching up with him?
Basically.
Right.
Yeah. He gets to be on the receiving end for a change.
Come on, karma! Dung beetle! Dung beetle! Dung beetle! Although that's kind of rough on the dung beetles. They actually do something that contributes to the overall well-being of their world. So, yeah, maybe... bloodworm! Bloodworm! I don't know. What's out there that you'd like to see him reincarnated as?
Nothing.
Right, just... No, we can't use that. We can't use that soul material any longer. No, that's completely toxic. That just can't come back. Hey, Cossack, good to hear from you, brother.
Same here, Bob.
All right, you take care and have a good weekend, all right?
You too. I hope you enjoyed your... recess in Washington.
Yeah, if you call walking around and pouring down freezing rain all day Wednesday enjoying, yeah, you betcha. Although it is nice to find out that they sell umbrellas outside metro stations now.
Oh, yeah.
Came in handy. Cossack, take care.
You too, Bob.
Bye now. Our buddy Cossack calling from North Florida, or as some people refer to it, Lower Alabama. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Well, how about that? Well, if you want to, you feel free to try to call back. Marty writing in kudos to Rachel, and that was rather an astute observation on the part of Jay as well. Nothing said is the best or most telling comment of all. No, I'm not going to cue up the Sounds of Silence. Our buddy Michael noting via Facebook, friends, unless you consider your wife, girlfriend, baby mama, or other mother to be a slut or a prostitute, Do not send flowers from Pro Flowers this Mother's Day unless they pull their advertising from Rush Limbaugh's show. And even then, maybe not, unless their apology public statement is really, really good. Very true. Very true. Just a bit of a roundup. Lost in all the Limbaugh ass hattery today. Some other stuff that, well, in a way, is just as telling of what the right wing is about as anything Limbaugh has said. And frankly, this particular story, more disturbing. You remember when the Senate of the United States rolled over so George W. Bush would scratch its tummy, and the Gang of 13 came together to make sure that a whole raft of right-wing freaks and ideologues would be confirmed to the federal bench of the United States of America? You remember that? Because I do. Well, one of those people was who was sent onto the bench was Chief Judge Richard Siebel, C-E-B-U-L-L, and I'm probably mispronouncing it. He sent around an email. Now, this is a guy who is cloaked in Article 3 power. And Article 3 power is some pretty serious power. Having been confirmed to the federal bench, he stays there for life. He sits on the bench in Montana, part of the Ninth Circuit, and he is the chief judge. And a judge is held to a different standard than you or I or many other people. It's what some would refer to as, and this is another classical reference, the Caesar's wife standard. Caesar's wife's name was Calpurnia. And Caesar's wife must be above reproach, as the saying went. And so too with federal judges, judges generally. They have to comport themselves in such a way as not only to not violate the law, but not to create what the law refers to as the appearance of impropriety. Not just impropriety, but the appearance of impropriety. And when you put on the black robe, and when you take the oath and accept the job, you accept that standard. But Chief Judge Richard Siebel, who sits on the Federal District Court in Montana, as noted, thought it'd be a real laugher to send around, you know, them email jokes. They just get, I tell you, I open my email some days, and they're just full of just laugh riots. I just giggle. Oh, and the really good ones, I have to forward them around and send them to my friends. This is the joke that Richard Siebel sent around. A little boy said to his mother, "Mommy, how come I'm black and you're white?" And his mother replied, "Don't even go there, Barack. From what I can remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark." Ho, ho, ho! I don't care who you are, that's funny. That's a real knee slapper, I tell you what. Pass me that bottle of rot gut hooch. I'm going to have me another pull. It'll probably still be even funnier after I'm done. I don't care. You hush up, Barack. From what I remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark. Oh, goodness me, that's a funny one. I ain't heard one so funny. Oh, mercy, since the last racist joke I heard about that there Barack Obama who's in our White House.
this. And see, you got to understand, jokes like that are right smack dab in the middle of the repig-licking sweet spot. That's the good stuff where they're concerned. You know, it's a damn shame that guy's dead. Otherwise, he could be complaining that liberals who don't have a sense of humor are trying to get rid of a dedicated public servant just because he suggested that the president's mother, who's dead, had sex with dogs in orgies. Classy. You want to hear his excuse for having emailed that around? Because he admitted that he read the mail, and he thought it was a funny one. Real? Well, I'll tell you what, that tickled my funny bone. The only reason I can explain to you is I am not a fan of our president. But this goes beyond not being a fan. I didn't send it as racist, although that's what it is. I sent it out because it's anti-Obama. Bull. Yeah, it has racist overtones. Mommy, how come I'm black and you're white? Shut up, Barack! It starts out on a racist premise. But just like Rush Limbaugh, only in a much more dire, much more grave, much more serious tableau, since this creep is cloaked with literally the power of life and death, you know, you can turn off Rush Limbaugh. But the terrified soul standing before Judge Dick Siebel can't turn him off. You can't scan away from Judge Dick Siebel to Hot Heads 102.3. You have to stand there and take it from him. And you can't refer to him as a bestial racist prick. You can't refer to him as a pile of excrement. You have to nod your head and tug at your forelock and say things like, "Yes, Your Honor," and "I understand, Your Honor." As His Honor sits there in those black robes and tucks back a little smirk, remembering the email he sent around about that Obama, and how he laughed when, "You're lucky you don't bark. I can't wait to tell the wife and kids that one. I ain't heard. Wrecked them, damn near killed them. Oh my goodness gracious. What a pity those liberals don't have the advanced and well-developed sense of humor that we conservatives have. You don't bark. Oh God, oh merciful say. Oh, that's a good one. Jiminy, don't bark. I kill me sometimes. I sent it out because it's anti-Obama. See, what he's trying to do is hide behind some sort of defense of political speech. Benedict at large in the chat room. Look on the bright side, Bob. Every black person this jerk sent to jail now has a bona fide appeal coming. You'd just about say that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he called in the investigation on himself once it became apparent that some non-Obama haters had gotten hold of the email.
Snitches!
And he issued a written apology. Let's check this apology out. I sincerely and profusely apologize to you and your family for the email I forwarded. I accept full responsibility. I have no one to blame but myself. I can assure you that such an action on my part will never happen again. He won't forward any more of these emails. He will continue to get them because he is a miserable, misbegotten, misanthropic right-winger, and that's the kind of people that he runs around with. He just won't forward any more of them. That doesn't mean he can't sit back in his office and say, lucky you don't bark. I can't send them out anymore. Oh, and every time I hear it, I laugh. Damn, that's funny. Yeah. I can assure you that such action on my part will never happen again. I have requested that the Judicial Council of the Ninth Circuit review this matter. Yeah, that's code two. That's, I know the House of Representatives is in control of people who think just like I do, and they're never going to impanel impeachment proceedings against my Article 3 ass. Eat it, Barack! Honestly, I don't know what else I can do. Please forgive me, and again, my most sincere apology. Well, golly, if Barack Obama forgives him, doesn't that mean that Barack Obama is exercising, Christian principles and Christian morality? Oh, but then what'll the right wing do? They won't be able to say he's a Muslim anymore! An atheist Muslim Kenyan, who hates, white people and doesn't like colonialism. No. This guy doesn't need to be sitting in judgment of other people. Because this isn't nearly as much a racist joke as it is a misogynistic one. Really? Jokes about dead mothers? What happened to the mama rule? Hey, Kate! Kate! Ain't y'all got the mama rule up in Montana? I thought you did, because we got the mama rule down here behind the cornbread curtain. Don't say nothing about mama. Because you say something about mama, whoever's mama got something said about has got the right to go and beat your face in. Don't talk about mama. Damn. No, he should resign. Every case he decides is now under question. Every case involving a woman. Every case involving a person of color. Every case involving a Democrat. Is subject to question because he has cloaked himself not in the black robe of justice, but in the tawdry, tattered rags of libel and slander and certainly impropriety. Lucky you're not a dog. I tell you. There's some of them, they're always funny. Jude letting us know, his office number is area code 406-247-7766. And maybe the more appropriate number would be to have the uh, calls go to the Ninth Circuit, who is investigating him, especially if you live in a state served by the Ninth Circuit. And that would be, what, California, Oregon, Washington, Montana, I don't know who else. Maybe the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals needs to know that the man may no longer be trusted to hold lives in the balance of his twisted worldview. Yeah, as John notes, still, it is an actual apology. They might kick him out of the GOP for that, and that's true. Jeanette, I know it wasn't meant that way, but I would take that as a compliment. I think dogs are far superior to people. You and Mark Twain, Jeanette, you're in good company. It was Mark Twain who said that if we got into heaven on merit instead of grace, our dogs would get in and we would wait outside. There is nothing with regard to this president that these slime merchants, these purveyors of filth, be they judges or radio hosts, there's nothing, nowhere they can go that is too low, that is beyond the pale, that is too sick, too evil for them. Go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Don't forget about cats.
Oh, that, well, absolutely. I guess maybe we could update Twain to say our pets would go in and we would remain outside.
No, I think that's a little better.
And I think Twain was a cat man, too.
Yeah, he was. You know, quite frankly, this judge has hoisted himself in his own petard. He really has. And I'm glad he did it.
Well, I mean, that shows that there's something to him, but generally these right-wingers only do this when they know that the hammer's about to fall. He knew it had gotten around. He knew it was going to be reported on. And yeah. But, I mean, Jim, doesn't the mama rule still obtain?
I would think so. And how can you apologize for making a remark like that or forwarding something like that? How can you apologize when you've been appointed to a federal bench and have the power that he does to pass sentence on people?
Yeah, because the rule doesn't say shall avoid the appearance of impropriety on days with R's in them.
No, it doesn't. You never can tell. I don't know how old this guy is, but, you know, for making remarks like that and for being so lacking in, I don't know what to say, good taste or human decency. You know, I remember I've seen those films that they showed after the plot to kill Hitler with that Roland Fleischer, who was a judge there in the Nuremberg, and not Nuremberg, but in the Berlin courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sentencing to death all those people who were being hanged on piano wire for their complicity in the Stauffenberg plot to blow Hitler to the smithereens.
Right.
Well, you remember what happened to him, don't you?
It caught up with him, didn't it?
Well, what happened was he was fixing to assign the death penalty to some survivors. And he was killed in a courtroom by an allied air raid. And they had told him to leave the courtroom because the bombers were coming over, but he was still trying to gather up his evidence to sentence the next person to the piano wire. And guess what? The bomb hit the courtroom, and a rafter blew his brains out, splattered him like a bug.
It's
also, this judge was one of the ones who attended the Wannsee Conference in Berlin in January 1942. Freisler was there when they decided on the final
solution. Yeah.
He was an attendee there. If you don't believe it, look up the Wannsee Protocol, and you'll see his name. Major General in the SS or the Stormtroopers. But, I mean, you know, I'm glad this guy did this because it shows you exactly what type of vermin they are. And for him to think something like that's funny, to pass it on, a member of the federal bench, I mean, how low have we sunk? But, you know, like I said before, there's a bright cloud or a bright lining in this cloud. Because, I mean, when people see that, or at least I hope they will, they'll just see how indecent this man really is.
Well, Kate suggests to the contrary, Jim. Just heard from her. I conjured her, I guess. She said, I don't know this guy because I haven't been here long enough to know the inner workings of the hallowed halls, but I know he won't get reprimanded. More than two-thirds of the folks with whom I am acquainted, well, maybe 85%, would and do think this is funny. Oh, yeah, she says, we got the mama rules. Sadly, all those mamas would have laughed at the joke, too, and they listen to Beck and Rush daily. He won't leave the bench. This will all pass and will be forgotten. What a train wreck we all live in. And as long as he sits on the bench, the federal bench in Montana has no integrity. Because, you know, the Caesar's wife rule is there for a reason, Jim.
I mean, that whole thing is, to me, is about as funny as ALS. And you know how much I love to make wisecracks and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You had a couple of dandies earlier.
And, you know, I don't mind doing that as long as they're within the realm of what I consider to be human decency. But for him to make or to support, and by forwarding that thing, he supported it and thought it was funny, cracks about black people and women, things of that nature.
But you notice the caveat in his apology? I didn't do it because I'm a racist. I did it because I'm anti-Obama. Well, okay, let's analyze that, Your Honor. Why are you anti-Obama? Oh, because he's a Muslim, Kenyan, birth certificate. Oh, because you're a racist. Oops. Right? I mean, isn't that about how that plays out?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, there are all kinds of people in this country, and some of them, of course, are highly placed in government who feel that they can get away with remarks like this about the President of the United States because of his color and the fact that they can't stand the fact that there's a black man in the White House. That's exactly what it goes back to, and I've said that for years, and I'll continue to say it. And who so much before, in his own way, President Obama, he's made a number of mistakes, but I'm a lot prouder of him than I was his predecessor, that's for damn sure. And some of the things he pulled and some of the stuff he got us into, God knows. And if these people think that stuff is funny, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's about as funny as ALS. You know?
Yeah.
Or cancer or whatever. It's about as funny as the Holocaust. It is as funny as all these other black jokes and stuff like that that I've heard people tell and guffaw and laugh at, and with tobacco juice running out of their mouths. And, you know, I don't even think Larry the Cable Guy would think that'd be funny. He might, I don't know.
Well, I don't understand the intellect. Well, I guess maybe I do. I was going to say the intellectual blindness, but it's not. It's a sort of moral or ethical.
Bob, how can you have intellectual blindness when there's no real intellect behind it?
Right. That's what I was getting at. Daryl Issa, the richest man in the House of Representatives, and also an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal criminal case some years back. Is blaming Democrats for this whole flap over the blatant and rampant misogyny that's flowing out of the mouth of Rush Limbaugh. He says, in writing back to someone complaining about Limbaugh, he said,
I am struck by your clear failure to recognize your own contributions to the denigration of this discussion and attacks on people of religious faith. And that's not just somebody writing to him, by the way. That is Representative Elijah Cummings.
And these people are our elected representatives and are indicative of the people who repeatedly send them back to the halls of Congress.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't bode well, but like I say, you know, how can you have any sense of morality when you don't have? How can you have any sense of true intellectual capability when there is no spark of intellectual capability? Or how can you have any sense of human decency when there is no sense of human decency?
Yeah, you can't. You cannot create matter out of a vacuum.
No, you can't make gold out of shit.
Or that either.
I mean, really. I mean, honest to God. I mean, this guy you can multiply by I don't know how many times, and you will find those people who will think that what he did by forwarding this email or thinking it was funny. Oh, they'll stand behind him and they'll support him, and you know, it's as clear as the nose on your face, and there can be no apology for this type of thing. For a federal judge? I mean, I would expect someone sitting behind a pot-bellied stove in a general store, like I say, with tobacco running out of his mouth.
But again, you know, you can apply that old...
Oh, because, you know, he thinks that makes him looks, you know, better in front of his other redneck friends. That's exactly what they are.
Imagine for a moment, though, if a federal judge had said something like that about Barbara Bush. You know, the woman who said that her precious mind couldn't be bothered by thinking about people being American soldiers being killed in Iraq, who said that she was afraid that the people evacuated from the aftermath of Katrina to Houston's Astrodome would like it so well they would stay. The woman who referred to her Hispanic grandchildren by Jeb Bush as the little brown ones. What if some liberal or Democratic appointee judge had made some crack about, oh, I don't know, Barbara Bush looking like the love child of the Quaker Oats man?
Well, the term was used, not the brown one, the dark one.
No, she called him the little brown ones.
Well, Bush called him the dark one.
Dear God.
Yeah, he did. And I thought to myself when I heard it, my God, that young man's not the dark one, you are. Darker in mind, darker in spirit.
But can you imagine the Sturm und Drang that would be just rising from the House of Representatives right now if a democratically appointed judge had said something about Barbara Bush in similar context?
Oh, they go absolutely a.
The impeachment proceedings would have already begun. This guy's not going to resign. And he knows he's not going to be impeached.
Well, you know, you never can tell. Other things could happen. He might not be sitting in his position long. And like I say, every decision he hands down, he's going to have to remember that he forwarded this email, and he's going to have to remember how many people are going to be on the lookout for him, too. Because there are a few people, maybe not just as many, who are trying to be watchdogs for judicial propriety and also the necessity of the appearance of judicial impropriety. I mean, you know, it's just this guy's just coming out from behind his robes, and under his robes he's totally naked. By naked, I don't mean as far as what he wears under his robes, but as I said before, what he lacks, not what he has.
Yeah.
He is what T.S. Eliot referred to as a hollow man.
And as far as this guy who passed away, who made these comments about Robert Kennedy, or John Kennedy.
Ted.
And he would or Ted Kennedy. I mean, well, think about this. Has this man no sense of decency? I mean, isn't it enough? I mean, I'm sure it's the guy who has probably said similar things about RFK, JFK, as well as the late Senator Kennedy.
Well, yeah, and consider the excuse-making. It was Rick Santorum who said that John Kennedy made him want to vomit. And when asked about the misogynistic effluent coming out of Flush Flimball's mouth, he said, well, he's an entertainer, and entertainers do outrageous things.
And that's logic?
Well, see, that's the bunker that Limbaugh jumps into every time he gets himself into it. My friends, I am an entertainer.
No,
it's my job to make you laugh. And many of you are laughing by me talking about that filthy slut, Mrs. Fluke.
Bob, these people don't have charm or intellect. They have counter-charm. They have anti-charm.
Right, anti-charm. It's something that requires a super collider to find.
Exactly. It's just like that quotation I pulled from the boys in the band, spoken by Harold. Remember that song? He doesn't have charm. He has counter-charm. And that's exactly what these people have.
But, Lord, when they're among their own kind, they laugh, Jim. Oh, they laugh. I mean, to tell you the truth, I when this show ends, if I wanted to, I could get in the car, drive downtown to the local gas station, and odds are about 60-40, maybe 70-30, that within 30 minutes of walking in there, I could hear an N-word joke about Barack Obama.
You know, that's truly sad.
Yeah, it is. And I got to the point where I just looked up and said, you know, why do you talk about our president that way? Isn't that just a little sick? Oh, you're just one of them damn liberals. I said, damn right I am. And you're just one of them damn idiots.
Oh, they wouldn't use the term liberal. You know what they'd call you.
No, that was the word that was used.
Well, I'm sure they're probably thinking he's just another N-lover.
Yeah, they used that one on my kids when we had an Obama sign in the yard back in 08.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's...
It's not something I think a lot about, but you know that one of my favorite books is Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember in that book, a lot of the trouble starts when Scout comes home and says, Atticus, what's an N-lover? Why do you ask, Scout? And it goes from there. Well, I got that question, too. Daddy, what's...
Well, see, these people have never...
And that's a book written about Depression-era South Central Alabama...
Right.
And in
right.
2008, I got the same question in the first decade of the 21st century in Central Appalachia.
How many of these people do you know who even have any idea who Harper Lee was, what he wrote, or have even seen the film?
Oh, no, no. Harper Lee, they think she was, I don't know, has she got a song about tractors out? Yeah, that's about where that.
That's the thing. That's the reason I don't feel a whole lot of sympathy or relation to or comportment with people who are so damn ignorant and prejudiced and just downright hateful. And that's exactly what they are. To me, that's the key word. They're hateful. I mean, they are so definitely mired in their own lives, which to them aren't giving them very much. They've got to have somebody to look down on. They got to have somebody to cast aspersions on. And if it's not black people, it's homosexuals or perhaps women who want to have control of their lives, of their bodies. In other words, if their own sense of inadequacy and their own lack of ability to aspire to anything better.
I mean, you got to ask. I mean, with Limbaugh, did he not know that this was going to come back to bite him because of his own little Viagra escapade? Remember with the illegal prescription for Viagra that he took on an all boys weekend to the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, I remember that. I sure do.
And he came back with two of them gone.
Get back more gone with that. I think this man's mind is gone.
Well, it may be tertiary syphilis. We can't be sure.
I mean,
Sandra just sent me a couple of pictures. She confirmed what I said earlier. Nobody has seen or heard from the present Mrs. Limbaugh since Elton John sang for them. Off the radar.
I mean, that marriage was just one of those put-up things where they used to marry stars in Hollywood who were gay and stuff like that, and they were just trying to cover it up and have these arranged fixed marriages to give the appearance of this, that, and the other. And they all came out, whether it was in L.A. Confidential, if such a thing existed, or Confidential. Remember that magazine? You ever heard about that?
I have. Yes. Scandal sheets.
Yeah, scandal sheets. And, you know, most of these people, like Rush Limbaugh and people like that, or the people who work for them, if they got a broken nose, it would be because somebody slammed a window on it. Does that do you for tonight?
Nah, that's a beauty. That's a beauty, Jim.
That's exactly, and that came right out of Chinatown. Remember when?
Oh yeah.
That guy was given what's his name? A lot of heat about whatever, and the comment that Jack Nicholson made back to him about either something about his wife's legs or somebody slammed the nose on his one
slammed a window on his nose. Yeah.
I mean, really.
And by the way, Texas Betsy noting, she says, you know, the Orthodox Jewish world still has marriages of that sort.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are arranged and contrived. And they're...
Well, and so does the waspish Protestant world, because if you remember the Kitty Kelly book on the Bushes?
Yes, sir.
Remember how dumbstruck they were. I forget who the California Republican House member was that they were trying to hook up with their daughter Doro or Dottie, you know, W's sister.
Oh yeah.
And they kept going out on dates, but he wasn't, and they didn't understand why he wasn't interested. Never mind the fact that the guy lived with his legislative assistant. That he was, you know, it was an open secret that the guy was gay, and those poor waspy little bushes were saying, why is that? She's a lovely girl, and she's brushing her teeth before she leaves. I don't understand. Right?
Quite comprehend it, can we? I give them my phone number. I'll be glad to tell them why. Be no problem. I mean, block your face. The whole thing is just a dog and pony show just to cover up something they're ashamed of, or it's one thing to be, I guess, ashamed of, but to place themselves as the apologist for the traditional marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah, and it was David Dreyer, by the way. Marty came up with that real quick. Yeah, David Dreyer.
I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, I apparently gave enough detail. That's him. Jim, good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay, like I say, hypocrisy and hate.
Bingo on both counts. Take care. Bye now.
Thanks.
Our buddy Jim, and onward we go at the top of the hour. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Oh, boy. And, yeah, that's right, Brother Jim. You let him know. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, that's a beard. You know he's got a beard. That's what that woman is. And, oh, did you hear the kitty? Well, that kitty loves Jim, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Boy. You know, and that's the thing, you know, with this judge over here talking, what is that? Where does that come from? You know where that comes
from. Yeah, I know where that comes from, and so do you, Brother Albert.
Come on now. I mean, come on. You know, like, and for real, what kind of judgment is that? That's not judgment. You know, if I watch the UFC and a fighter doesn't fight and then I hear that he gets cut because he doesn't fight, you know, he gets in the ring and he runs off and, you know, he's a fighter. He has to fight. And if he doesn't fight, what happens? He gets fired. And if I was making tacos at Taco Bell and I was making pizza instead, I'd get fired because I'm not making tacos. And so if I'm making judgments that I'm going to send out a letter about, you know, Barack's mother being, you know, the president's mother being in an orgy with dogs, and why do they always run to bestiality? What is that?
You do realize that bestiality means never having to say you're sorry.
Well, if it's a mule, right? That's isn't it what it is?
And remember the conservative Christian Republican from Georgia who talked about how his first sexual experiences were with farm animals and offered up real... What, y'all didn't?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's right. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was David Dreyer, David in Tennessee, noting... the oh-so-handsome Repiglican from California that's about to retire on account of redistricting.
Lovely. Hey, you know, and that's the other thing, you know, getting rid of Ben Nelson, Olympia Snow. Who else? Oh, Andrew Breitbart. He's swimming in hell. Can't say I wasn't, I was happy about that.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that the Savage Wiener, because we all love the Savage Wiener, right? Mm. Yeah. You know what? It's entirely plausible that Breitbart collapsed of a heart attack because of overweight and a reported history of health problems. But I'm asking a crazy question. But so what? We the people want an answer. This was not an ordinary man. If I don't ask this question, I would be remiss. Savage. You know, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Breitbart was assassinated. Sure.
Yeah, for what? Fabricating everything he ever said? Honestly.
Well, you know, he had been saying for a couple of weeks that he really had the dirt on Obama this time. So the Twitterverse on the right wing went nuts. It's the Obama-Clinton-Bush murder machine again. Really? The Obama-Clinton-Bush murder? There's one of those? I had no idea.
Well, you know, Bill Clinton isn't scoring any points with his little support for Keystone Pipeline.
No, that was pretty sleazy, I thought.
Well, yeah, I was looking at him, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, why are you doing this? What is wrong? Oh, you trying to leave a legacy behind. That's what you're doing. I mean, monetary legacy. You know, he's trying to give money to his daughter and grandchildren, if he ever has one, and, you know, and that's despicable.
Did the check clear? Oh, then I'm all for the Keystone XL pipeline. It's a vital part of our national security. Check cleared, right? Yeah.
Not only that, not only is he all for it, he thinks it should be, what did he say? It should be put for investors and, you know, he opened up for whatever. Everyone should.
There needs to be an initial public offer, and this is the investment opportunity of a lifetime.
You know, he was the best Republican president we ever had, and that's no doubt about. You know, but at the same time, you know, President Not Sure. You know, I can't complain too much about him. I really can't. Not today. Not lately. And, you know, if anyone tries to say we're not better off today than we were 4 years ago, I don't know what to say to them. We're better off today than we were 4 years ago. I mean, am I crazy or am I?
No, I don't think you are. I think I will get another list here in a minute of the many and varied crimes of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. But
come on now. I'm not, you know, I mean, come on. Every member of the Horn, how long we've been together? Years? 7 years? Are we going on 5 years?
Yeah, I mean,
you know where I stand.
Yeah, we still want the establishment of a Department of Jesus, Barack. You know, at the cabinet level.
True.
Just, you know, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
But you know,
but we all know what he's been dealing with. You know, the thing where I stand on this is to attack him. Almost seems, you know, just like as the Pig-Lickans use projection in everything they ever say, right? Bestiality. I mean, come on now, Rush Limbaugh. We know he doesn't want that kind of porn. Bill Hicks or a prophet, Bill Hicks, may peace be upon him. Already let us know what kind of porn Rush Limbaugh's into. We all know that.
Yes.
You know, he didn't go watch it anyway, you know, which is disgusting at the same time. Because she wants some birth control covered by insurance. Dude. You know how much drugs cost? Bob. That's the thing with these people. This is another thing. This is why we need a limited amount of money being made in a lifetime, and you're done. You're done. You can't be that detached to understand that, you know, even in a family where there's $50,000 for four and an income, medicine would completely throw a wrench. If you needed a kind of drug that was expensive or so on and so forth, well, how much is it? You know, and the other thing, they're trying to attack Obama because of the health care insurance for the veterans, right? They're freaking out because he said that, you know, the rates are going to triple. But they're only paying, what, $500 a year? So if it triples or quadruples, it's $1,500, $2,000, $2,000 to be insured for a year. You know, and hey, I'd love to provide our veterans.
And you know, if you're making $50,000 a year and you got a family of four,
you can swing that easily.
Well, no, you might even you may very well be Medicaid eligible.
Well, that's true too, but yeah, it depends. Yeah,
and not paying anything.
Well, we should have.
Oh, but by the way, just because it's. I know it may seem like something entirely different, but it isn't. It may very well be that in addition to attacking women, this just relentless bag of sleaze, Flimball, you know, the guy has just gone after the Chevy Volt. Left and right, hand over fist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, GM has announced a 5-week suspension of production of the Volt till they sell off their current inventory, and 1,300 people are out of work as a result of it. Now, Limbaugh was part and parcel of the attacks on the safety of the car.
Of course, he's a scumbag. Of course he is. You know, but he can't stop it. He can't stop this, Bob. Brother Bob, we all know, you know how much I love Nikola Tesla, right?
Sure.
Anybody who knows anything about it, you know, a lot of people don't know who he is, and that's kind of why I always bring it up. And a lot of people have no idea who this guy was and what he did for us. You know, but this is the man who, you know, basically prophesied the iPhone and talked about wireless transmission, and you know, and he was working on this his whole life, and he brought us such amazement that we take it for granted. It's like he brought us water. He was like the inventor of water. You know, and we all know water is so ubiquitous, everyone takes it for granted. That's why we use water in the toilet and everything else, you know, but the way we treat water, dumping everything in the ocean, oh, it's out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Nobody sees it. It can't hurt us. But Stanford, right, a research team at Stanford, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is huge news. And by the way, if you haven't seen Revenge of the Electric Car, which is on Netflix right now, definitely want to watch this. You have to watch this movie. And the beautiful thing about that film, real quick, I just want you to always remember this, is that this was just a little bit ago. It was 2009, 2010, maybe a little bit of 2011. And, you know, it's sad that the Volt is where it's at. But you know what? That's not going to change Nissan's perspective. Nissan's going all electric. And I'm pretty sure it's 2016 when that happens. And Stanford, right, duplicating tests done at MIT, right, where MIT was wirelessly powering televisions and toasters and da-da-da-da-da, based off of Tesla, of course. Stanford has now devised a system to put this in the roads. To put this in the roads and charge vehicles as they drive down the road, down the highway. And you're trying to tell me we can't do one lane of this? Throwing some windmills down the way to power this up? Are you trying to tell me we can't do this? And I mean, and we already, I forget her, well, she moved down to South Carolina, listening to the show. I don't remember her name. I'm terrible with names. I'll never forget your face, but terrible with names. You know, well, when I was talking about how 95% of the electric vehicles, I mean, 95% of the driving done on a daily basis in America could be met with an electric vehicle. She had chimed in and said that.
No, yeah, that was Kim.
Kim, yeah. She had
Florida.
We haven't filled our Volt. Yeah, in Florida. South Carolina, I knew it was down there. We haven't filled it since September. I've been telling friends of mine that. And they go, because it's another piece of evidence. Because that's what we deal with. We deal with truth. We deal with reality and compassion and love and honor and respect. We don't deal with fabrications. We don't have to deal with any of this stuff. We're sick of this petroleum industry. We're sick. Everyone is. You know, and I love how they blame Obama, and I like what he comes out and says. He's like, what do you think I can do about this? How stupid are you? You think I can do something about it, the price of oil? How stupid are you? You know how stupid you are? You're listening to George Bush.
You're listening to Rush Limbaugh.
You're Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I mentioned Limbaugh a minute ago in his relentless assaults on the Chevy Volt. You gotta love the people at Motor Trend or Car and Driver or whatever it was. Motor Trend. It was Motor Trend. they posted something. A writer there, one of the editors, Todd Lassa. This was a year ago, back last November 2010, when Limbaugh was going after the Volt. He said, "Could you even find your way to the front seat, or are you happy attacking a car that you've never seen in person? Just remember, Rush, driving an OxyContin don't mix." And there's a larger point there, Albert. Broadcasting and OxyContin don't mix. And like I said, if you see any current footage, the guy is jonesing hard by the end of his program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, the stupids out there talk about people listening to Bush or listening to Rush. I guess it was kind of while I was gone that whole thing blew up where Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, said, yeah, but you can't put a gun rack in a Chevy Volt.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
So naturally a guy goes out and puts a gun rack in a Chevy Volt. And hey, look, everybody, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, is a moron.
Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, I mean, let me just say this real quick. I have to say this. I would never purchase a Bush-era GM product. Those are the biggest piles of crap. That is why GM, those crappy, disgusting vehicles are why GM needed to get a bailout. Isn't it? I mean, we all know the interior, but you know what? I look at that Volt, and I go,
You know, and I gotta ask a question. Because this occurred to me while I was in Washington, D.C. While we were on the Hill, Lisa Jackson, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, was being interrogated by a House committee. In particular, Hal Rogers. And you want to talk about a sleazy gut bucket. Hal Rogers is that guy.
Sounds like it.
He said to... Miss Jackson, how many permits? Now let's talk a minute for about. And I want to get back to the original point, Albert. But let's talk a minute about Hal Rogers. Hal Rogers is a repig licking from Kentucky, from Eastern Kentucky. All right. And his district is the single sickest district in the United States. It's also awash in mountaintop removal, Albert.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And so he was grilling. Ms. Jackson, what I want to know is how many permits have you, how many mines have you permitted in your tenure as administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency?
Brother,
and when she said she didn't know the exact number, he turns and says, I rest my case. You know, like some sort of William Jennings Bryan character from Inherit the Wind defending, you know, the criminal ban on teaching evolution. You know, same kind of guy. And he said, name me one permit you've approved since you've been director. And she said, well, that would be the Hobet 45 mine, sir.
Mm.
Now, the Hobet 45 mine is huge.
Okay.
And it's a poisonous complex that's destroying miles of streams. And he said, what's that? Could you spell that for us, Ms. Jackson? And she said she didn't want to give a faulty list. She'd happy to give one later, Daniel. No, I want to know now. I know you can't give us them names because there has not been any. I can't understand how you'd sit there and not know details of this magnitude to a whole section of the country. I live in these hills. What you call navigable streams is a mountain gully that has water in it once in 8 years. For you to call that a navigable stream under your jurisdiction is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, because it only rains once every 8 years.
Yeah. Here's that.
I mean, of course.
Because, you know, he wants his district to be poisoned some more.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a sad, filthy little creature that's owned by the coal industry.
Yes, sir.
But the original topic. In walking in and out of the Rayburn House office building when she was there, there was this fleet of shiny black Cadillac SUVs and sedans. And, you know, they're there, and they're all bulletproofed and everything. You know, you got to bulletproof the EPA administrator's car because you never know when some right winger, look at this here. I got me a 370. Magnum express load, a hand load, you know, a hand load. This thing goes twice as fast at a muzzle velocity as one of your store bought rounds. It'll penetrate armor or bulletproof glass. I mean, those guys are out there, and it does not help Miss Jackson that her skin is on a tanner side of pale, shall we say? You know, so she's got two things working against her, you know, being a Democrat and a brown person. And, yeah, three, and an Obama appointee. But I got to thinking, is it impossible to bulletproof a smaller vehicle? I mean, do we really have to... wouldn't it send a little bit better message if we weren't toddling around in things that get 5 gallons to the mile?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I mean, can we armor plate a midsize instead of a full-on Chevy or Cadillac Canyonero? Remember the Canyonero? Homer Simpson wanted one so badly.
Well, you know the kind of torque that an electric motor produces, which is above and beyond even the wildest dreams. You know, size for size, it's the pound-for-pound torque champion. And there's no other engine that we developed until we developed the damn warp core technology that's even going to come in, you know, any kind of proximity to it. You know, a tiny little electric motor, a tiny 70-pound Tesla motor, what has it got? How much? 800 pounds of torque, as much as a friggin' Ferrari? I mean, you know, come on. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course you could bulletproof a small vehicle. You know what? It'd be even better if we had a world where we didn't need to bulletproof anything because people didn't bring guns into churches and kill the pastor's daughter when a damn thing goes off. You know, why do you need to bring a gun in church? What's wrong with these people? Well, Bob, I don't understand. I don't understand, but you know what? Your voice that you had for that guy, Reynolds, what are you objectifying on? That's what I get.
Yeah.
Judge from Idiocracy. That is beautiful. That's how stupid. They're so stupid, and the Republicans are going stupid. mean, they've always been stupid, but now the crazy is just going nuts. And in Wisconsin, I turn around, I read the newspaper, you want to make having one child, child abuse?
Single parent child. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this new bill out of Wisconsin. Remember that Wisconsin flag that says Wisconsin 1848. That's a union flag, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to forget that. This proposed legislation out of the Wisconsin State Senate Committee on Public Health, Human Services, and Revenue. Senator Glenn Grothman, sounds like something you take a pill for, Republican, wants the state of Wisconsin to claim that, being in non-marital parenthood constitutes child abuse and neglect. In disseminating that information, the board shall emphasize non-marital parenthood as a contributing factor to child abuse and neglect.
I hate these people. I hate them. They are despicable. They are repulsive and disgusting on every way, shape, and form. I don't even know what friggin' planet they're on, but you know what? I'm hoping the universe starts sucking them off one by one, starting with Andrew Breitbart. You know, even a son of a bitch like, what's his name? Back in the day, what's his name? Watch the documentary on him. I'm so terrible with names. You know who I'm talking about. Lee Atwood.
Oh, yeah.
Lee Atwood. At least he, at the end of his day, you know, see, that's the thing. The universe gave him a chance to amend or a chance to say something. And it may not have done anything, you know, back in the day when he died in the 80s and 90s, you know, it didn't do anything to. But now we have the Internet. Now everyone has access to this information. And more people you never even expect would actually watch the documentary and say, oh, man, that Lee Atwood. He did turn around. That helps, you know, illustrate history. And the better we see history, the less.
Yeah, and, you know, it's happening again, Albert.
Of course.
You remember former Republican National Committee Committee Chair Ken Melman, who every time he appeared on television set off gaydar all across the country, just whoop, 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 and then turned out to, you know, be closeted in the Bush administration? He's having, and there's no evidence that he has cancer or is going to check out anytime soon, but he's had his Lee Atwater moment.
Did he?
Yeah. You know, he was prominent in the 2004 Bush assault on marital politics. He says, at a personal level, I wish I had spoken out against the effort. As I've been involved in the fight for marriage equality, one of the things I've learned is how many people were harmed by the campaigns in which I was involved. I apologize to them and tell them I am sorry. While there have been recent victories, this could still be a long struggle in which there will be setbacks, and I'll do my part to be helpful.
Well, universe bless him. Now, that shows you right there that the power's there. That the power for, you know, perception, to have it arranged, or to sit there, and, I mean, even Melman's, if that smarmy bastard's gonna see it, you know, it's there, and I think, you know, maybe the universe starts plucking them off the planet. I hope. I don't want to see anybody painful. I'm sad, you know, he's got a family, but you know what? That guy was a disgusting, filthy, the world's a better place without that son of a bitch, and I'm telling you right now, I'm having a party this weekend for it, because that guy is disgusting. And I don't care if Albert, oh, you're so horrible. Screw that shit. That guy took us back, and I'm talking about Breitbart. He took us back, I don't even know how far.
Well, like I said earlier, it is the fact that there are people who do not have homes today that mm-hmm. could have had their homes saved by Acorn had all of that filth mm-hmm. not been taken as gospel. That is, you know, if there was some grand accounting and St. Peter at the gate with a book going, you did what? How many people are out of the? Oh, I'm sorry, you've got to go. Trap door.
You know, these guys, like, you know, Shirley Sherrod, you know, I mean, what the? I want to drop some F bombs. I'm going to drop some F hydrogens right now, because that's how pissed off I am. That son of a bitch sat there and took Shirley Sherrod, she's telling a story, and twists it around and makes it, and then she gets fired. He sits there and twists it around and makes it look like so on and so forth, and because some dumbass in friggin' Acorn said something, because he probably didn't understand it. Who the hell knows? You know how these smarty bastards that come in. I can go in and make anyone's head twist in a friggin' play. I can make them think they're on candy camera, just like this guy was doing. And you can sit there and say things and get reactions from people and do all kinds of crap. So if you want to play a prank and then close down such a, I mean, an organization like Acorn, or to sit there and get a person like Shirley Sherrod fired, and or to sit there and try to, you know, destroy Planned Parenthood, and sit there and try to do all this other shit. If you could sit there and do this, to sit there and not imagine the impact that you're making, and you don't care because you're just doing it to get political points, man.
To make a buck.
Oh, and that's the other thing, too. You know, you're making a dollar on this crap. You're sitting there, and you're muddy in the water. You know, I mean, if you're going to sit there and try to call yourself a journalist is supposed to clarify things. You know, report the straight giddy and then clarify it with some logic and, you know, reasoning. And, I mean, that guy wasn't no goddamn freaking journalist.
Yeah, because I know you make a point, because, you know, journalists don't write things like, and you know, Ted Kennedy was one of those people who was respected on both sides of the aisle, because no matter how ferociously he would fight you, there was always someone on the other side who would say it was never personal. It was always about, you know, what he thought was right and wrong, and he was a great man. He and Robert Byrd went round and round, and when Kennedy died, Bob Byrd wept real tears of real grief, and so did many others. And so on the day he dies, a real journalist does not publish that he was a steaming pile of excrement and a prick.
And I haven't even come close to describing, to even approaching that with him. But I can't stand the guy. And I'll tell you right now, And here, he's a hideous human being. Disgusting, despicable. And every all of his little followers, all of his little minions, that are now going to carry on his work. You know.
Oh, speaking of minions, you remember that woman that played the wife in Everybody Loves Raymond? What's her name? Heaton? Deborah Heaton?
Okay.
Yeah, she's a real right-wing jackass. She has been tweeting in defense, get this, in defense of Rush Limbaugh.
There is no defense. There's no defense for that guy, because everything out of his mouth is just to make money. Everything out of his mouth is just to get attention. And, you know, the thing is, we have a level of stupid in this country where his poison is a viable crop. And they take it verbatim. I don't care if you believe it. I know people say, oh, he doesn't believe what he says. I don't give a shit. That kind of shit shouldn't be allowed to be said in terms of, I mean, come on now. Oh, come on now. She works for a damn school. She pays. And, you know, this is the other thing. You know what? Screw you, Rush Limbaugh. We pay for insurance in this goddamn country. We don't get shit. I'm sick of this shit. I pay $350 a month in insurance, and it keeps going up. It doesn't go down, and we don't even use it. And you know what? If they didn't cover the damn birth control, what the hell are you going to do? Spend $80 a month on birth control on top of it? Come on now. You know what? So my wife's a slut because we don't want to have another child. I don't understand these people. Like, why are we talking about birth control? Jesus, we're running out of petroleum, people. You know, I mean, I don't understand this. We're sitting here running out of arable land. You know, we're running out of clean water. You know, I mean, as much as I can bring a silver lining in regards to technology, you know, this level of this, we shouldn't even be talking about this shit. This is ridiculous. Talking about friggin' birth control? For real? What? I don't even understand. I don't comprehend this. What the hell planet are we on? Thank God Breitbart's not on it. But other than that,
Yeah, is this the part where we cue up Louis Armstrong singing What a Wonderful World?
Well, that is true, yeah. Oh, no doubt. This world is in a better place that piece of shit is not on it anymore. I don't care. Oh, he has a family. Yeah, well, you know, so did Hitler. And you know what? Whatever. I'm not trying to say he's going to. I don't believe in none of that stuff. You know me. But, no, this world's a better place without guys like that on it. I don't care. World's a better place without Gaddafi on it. And it is. And it's a better place without Osama on it. And it's a better place without, you know, who else? Kenneth Lay. And it's a better place without any. And I can't wait till Madoff goes. It's going to be a better place. Because these people are disgusting. They're thieves.
Yeah, we've kind of got a list, don't we?
Oh, my God, have I got a list.
No, I mean, you won't be able to. You will not be able to, A, keep me sober, or B, keep me clothed, or C, keep me indoors on the day that I get up and I find Rush Limbaugh overdoses.
Oh, my.
Dead at 62. God.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's going to be glorious. And I ain't going to cry. I mean, you know, I was sitting there, I went on Huffington Post. Rest in peace. Fuck him. No way. Rush Limbaugh, man, I'm going to do whatever I can to celebrate. Well, I'm going to do whatever I can.
No, they tried to send me a bomb. The liberals tried to send me a bomb. It was the John Wilkes Booth. What? One of my ditto heads said it?
Of course they did. They're the people. I mean, you know, and that's the other thing. Those people are...
I deserve that kind of protection. I deserve those thousands of dollars that were spent in protecting my lard ass.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's... You know, and I don't want to sit there and impinge on anyone's free speech. But really? Really?
Well, nobody's impinging on Limbaugh's free speech. He does not, however, have a constitutional right, Albert, to be paid for that speech when it becomes that toxic and that hateful. He does not have that there. I mean, and you know, that's a kind of a libertarian position I'm taking. The Constitution does not guarantee him the right to be paid $50 million a year to excrete all over 52% of the population of this country.
And I can't wait for Mitt Romney to be the primary winner, because his company, where that man is a, right? He's a centi-hundred millionaire, right? Right? Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, oh yes.
Baird Capital, right? They own Clear Channel.
And Clear Channel owns Premier Broadcasting Networks, do they not?
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, don't wait for the for-profit 1% media to sniff that one out, Albert.
Well, no, you know what, Brother Bob? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They don't have to sniff it out. The Internet's here. The fact that human beings can sit there, and I mean, that story got 14,000 redirects. That's 14,000. And out of that 14, I don't know where it's at right now. I'm not, you know, sitting there watching the counter, but you know how 14,000, it can double real easy. And 28,000 could double real easy. Right? And we can keep going and going and going. And the beauty of the Internet is it's always there. You don't believe me? Go to Google, log into your account, and then look at your web browser history. It's all there. All of it. So, you know, the thing is when people sit there and they start bringing up, you know, it makes it easier for reporters. It makes it easier for, you know, common everyday, you know, common average Joes and Janes to sit there and become aware. And you could do it so much faster now. See, this is the beauty of it. Look at the technology we have at this time right now. Almost everyone and their mother's walking around with a personal computer in their pocket that's hooked up to the Internet, that can play movies and videos and browse news and do all the things that are crazy things that would have never even been imagined 10 years ago. Would have been science fiction 10 years ago. The things that we can do today. And it's only getting more and more. I mean, broadband's going to Africa. You know, and I think what's going to happen, I mean, maybe we need to start voting on the Internet. I kind of like this idea. I would love this idea. Then we could sit there and completely change the way government works. Screw this blockade crap. Screw this condemn constant freaking, you know, filibusters and all this other shit. Screw it. Now let the people freaking decide. You know how long marijuana is going to stay illegal once the Internet's allowed to dictate where we should go on it? It's over then. Do you know how long we're going to sit there and enter wars of aggression once everyone can sit there and actually have a say? and then the president has to sit there and take our advice and heed it. Well, human, we should almost make it to the point, you know, we can keep our government, but we should add a post, right? Make the president, you know, we, the people, are the concierge of what the president does. We sit there and we direct what we want. I mean, it's all there. It's all on the internet. And give everybody, you know, and you know, I don't know, make, you know, voting day, you know, oh, there's a $1 million lotto ticket out there, you know, and one person's going to get it. That would bring out people. And that's what we need. We need people to come out. Because I don't, I'm telling you, you know, I don't talk to billions of people, but no one I talk to is as illogical as these Republicans are. No one. You said that even Republicans that were Republicans back in there supported Bush aren't even stupid enough to support these bastards. You know, their day is over. They are on their sunset. If this was a film, they would be on the horse riding out to the sunset. And we need a completely new direction. And where we have been and where we're, you know, where we went, there's nothing there. There's no future there anymore. You know, it's just got to stop. And I mean, you know, I know I'm a broken record, but
well, it will. It will eventually.
Just remember
that Andrew Breitbart, Albert, was exactly like a Greensboro lunch counter sit-in demonstrator.
Was he?
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one that just knocked me down.
Was he really?
Just like it. Just like that.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So in Sheriff Arpaio, he must be John Wayne, huh? He must be...
No, that's David Crockett at the Alamo.
Oh, is that what... I get it. That makes a lot of sense now. It's all clear to me now. I mean, oh, man. Sheriff Arpaio's got the goods on Obama's birth certificate. You got probable cause that there may be a reason that they may have done, you know? And of course, oh, God. Sheriff Arpaio, what a joke. Are these people serious? I mean, what? We got so much shit to do. Are they serious? Wasting our time, spinning our wheels on this crap? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. If this was a round table, yeah, we'd have to make it a Pentagon or something. Because these people are just, we got to cut them out. You know, and I think...
And you know what? You say we got to cut them out. I got one of those good news stories, Albert.
Amen.
Because, and it's especially good news... because of where it happened. The story comes out of Tennessee. And at Haywood High School, their principal was a lady by the name of Dorothy Bond. And she had told students there that if you're gay, you're going to hell, and if you're pregnant... your life is over, and said that she would expel anyone if they showed affection for members of the same sex. Tennessee, right? You think, well, you know, hell, you know, forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown.
The youth made us proud, didn't they?
There was so much hell raised that by last night... she had resigned.
Thanks. Oh, beautiful.
And the Board of Education issued a statement that said it, quote, acknowledges its student body's right to free speech and strives to provide an atmosphere of tolerance and diversity while maintaining high academic standards. You know what? This wouldn't be much of a story at all, Albert, if it was out of Massachusetts or California or Washington or Oregon. It's out of Tennessee. Tennessee that is actually has its legislature openly considering on the other end of the state and on the other end of the spectrum an outright ban of mountaintop removal. It was a beautiful thing. It was one of those moments where we're probably going to have to send off a set of official horn vestment prophet's robes to David in Tennessee. Because it was a couple of years ago. You know, David loves Tennessee. I mean, it is his birth state, and it is a place of real love that he bears real love for. In the same sort of way that many of us, well, behind the cornbread curtain, you know, we see the crazy stories and we go, oh, not again. And then when you catch them doing something right, you go, yes, we're going to get there. We're going to, you know, we are not only going to see the promised land, we're going to get there.
We are.
It was a couple of years ago that David said to me, you know, we were talking about mountaintop removal. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we have our ignorant sods in this state. Mm-hmm. But he said, this is Tennessee. And we live, breathe, eat, sleep, drink, think, exist, and dance and play tourism. And he said, mark my words, one of these fellas is going to pick up the phone and call his legislator. Said, now listen here, Percy. Ain't nobody coming down to Dollywood want to see no Skunk Top Mountains. Get somebody on this yesterday. And lo and behold, it is happening. I don't know what the outcome was, but it was a big deal in the Tennessee legislature. And you take that on the eastern end of the state, and this on the other. She resigned. She didn't even have to be fired. There was enough pressure brought to bear on that woman that she said, "Screw this! I'm out of here. I done did the wrong thing."
Oh my goodness! That's the biggest thing. They're paying attention. Now this judge needs to go because Shirley Sherrod has to go. This guy has to go. And Van Jones has to go. That judge in Montana has to go. You know, and this lady sits there and says, you know, I'm telling you, the youth, remember, Tennessee, I cannot wait until we do not have a single stand in the United States of America. I am tired of these stand republics. I am tired of these, you know, Democratic republics of Tennessee a stand and Idaho a stand and, you know, lately Wisconsin a stand. You know, I cannot wait till we don't have any more of these stands. You know, it's not fashionable. You know, it used to be fashionable to hate political correctness, right? Right? Well, it's not fashionable to sit there and hate on people. I mean, you know, to hate on sit there and on, you know, especially at that time of life. When we got, you know, how many homosexual children? You know, and I'll tell you right now, I may have a homosexual child. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. She's never going to not feel loved. If I do, either or, doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what your sex is. I don't care. Whatever they are, that's what they are. If they're attracted to women, they're attracted to women.
What they are is what they are going to be is loved.
Exactly. And that's all I can do, and I can sit there and but to sit there and say you're going to expel at the time of the life that is such a...
And that they are going to hell. Well, then, and if you're pregnant, your life's over already.
And that...
You know, this is the same school of thought that's, well, you know, we didn't have no birth control problems when I was growing up because we told the young women folk to keep an aspirin between their knees. God almighty.
They're filthy. Yeah, this is the abstinence-only education. You know, and that's like, that's so stupid. That's so ridiculous. To say, you know that's not going to work. You know it's not going to work. It's not going to work, period. It can't work, right? It's like putting sugar in your gas tank, thinking you're going to improve gas mileage. It's not going to work. There's no way that abstinence-only education will work.
No. It's great if you want to increase the population.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if the fundies wanted to increase church attendance, they'd tell teenagers not to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll do the opposite. You know, don't have sex. Well, I mean, that's been working with teenagers for, well, as long as we've been human. And by the way, Haywood High School, an update from David in Tennessee, he says, that's in small town West Tennessee, just as you mentioned. It's halfway between Memphis and Jackson. That is not in the middle of some cultural oasis. Good for my old home state.
That's right.
Right. This is not downtown Nashville, you know, civilization.
Mm. Good. I hope it infects them. I would love. Don't you want? I want to
see. Yeah, I want to see a full on pandemic of tolerance and diversity and acceptance.
Brotherly love. I mean, you know, I'm tired. I mean, that's the other thing. With everything that they're always going after homosexuals. And we know they don't really care too much about the women, right? I think we can say that. Can we say that fairly? That, you know, they don't really care too much about the lesbian. A little bit, but not like the gay men, you know.
Yeah, that's the one that really... Yeah, well, no, because the pervy men, you know, lesbians? Hey, that's all right by me. You can have a watch.
Oh, two girls. Oh, let me see.
right.
I didn't want to go too far on that.
No, you know. No. Yeah, no goat boy, please.
No, please not. God, no. But the thing is, we all know that their hatred of the homosexual man, it's misogyny. And that's why we're talking about birth control today. It's because it's the same thing. It's related to gay marriage, just like it was related to the union struggle, right? That they hate that, too. You ever notice that? You know, one thing that prohibition, and I said this, you know, this is based off Burns' documentary on prohibition, but it really illustrated it for me, is I saw how the fact that prohibition, we all know how it failed and it was stupid and da-da-da-da-da, but it brought us the union movement because it got women out of the house. It brought us suffrage, right, because it got women out of the house. They were the primary drivers for this issue. And, yeah, they were wrong. Of course they're wrong. You can't legislate people's, you know, habits and what they consume. You can't do it. I mean, you know, you don't have to do anything like that. And that doesn't work. It only empowers the criminal. It only empowers the greedy in government. And we all know that those are the things we hate about government. You know, that always makes me laugh when they talk about, you know, privatization this, privatization that. And then they cry about, you know, $1,800 toilet seats, which we all got from Reagan and his privatization bullshit. Right? No, man. It's the same time period. I remember that, 1984. He's sitting there, CBS News, $1,800 toilet seats. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Memory. And, you know, so don't try to play this game with me. You know, we're sitting there talking about, oh, gay marriage, gay marriage, gay marriage, gay marriage, homosexual men kissing. Oh, my God. You know, I guess it brings me into that South Park. You know, when they had South Park and Big Gay Al was the scout leader. I don't know if you ever seen it, but if you haven't seen it, I'll tell you right now, if there's any kind of show that's worth either you missed it and you should go watch it, I mean, yeah, all right, put some, you know, get a little grit in your belly, you know, because it's pretty raw, but South Park, those guys are brilliant. Those guys are geniuses. And they, when they address the Boy Scouts and the gay people issue, my goodness, is that one of those. I can't even describe it on the air. I can't do it. It's terrible. But it's also funny, and it's also poignant. And this is what it is. You know, we sitting there and listening. I mean, how is this news to us? If this isn't news, some pig-licking scumbag judge that will sit there, he's a racist. Imagine that. He hates women. Imagine that. It's the only things that we've been saying for freaking how many decades. The only thing is now it's getting traction.
Well, and I can only hope, Albert, that he has really crossed the line with this one. Because, I mean, this is actionable.
Yeah.
This is somebody out there who did not ask for this, did not deliberately put themselves into the public spotlight. If a citizen cannot speak to Congress without running the risk of being smeared by some filth merchant like Limbaugh, or maybe a few years ago, remember when the little boy got smeared by Michelle Malkin, who went snooping around, literally went snooping around his windows for saying that Chips had saved his life?
Yeah, that's Chip. Yeah.
No, but no, I can only hope that there's a lawsuit in the offing, because numbnuts attacked a female law student at Georgetown, who for the last 2 or 3 years, or however long she's been in there, you know, your brain changes when you go to law school, because all you think about are rights and duties and this is that tort, and the elements of slander and defamation are this, and because you only get one test a semester, and you got to know this stuff.
I mean,
he may have I'm hoping he's done it this time. Among other things, legacy stuff, I'm hoping that Breitbart served as an object lesson in how to go too far. Because, yes, Randy wrote in a few minutes ago and he said, would Breitbart's backers have come out in court? I thought there was a court case pending involving Breitbart. There is, and it is still pending, and it's not going to go away just because he's dead. It can very easily be converted to against so-and-so executor of the estate of.
Amen. Well, death is too easy for that son of a bitch.
Right. Exactly. No. Albert, yeah. Brother, awful good to hear from you. Have yourself a lovely weekend. And
too, Brother Bob.
And, say hi to the family for us.
Oh, you too, Brother Bob. You be good, Brother Bob.
All right, later. Bye now. Bye. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, rolling onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good to talk with you. I've been away for a while. I've been having some really hellish telephone problems, which means no internet.
Oh, that sucketh.
Yes, it sucketh, all right. With AT&T, it's been really something else because everybody on my street just about has been having trouble with their basic phone line. And, of course, when your basic phone line is down, your internet...
Everything goes with it.
Everything goes with it. And the situation is that, what's going on with AT&T is that they don't want to put money into their wire network because they want to get everybody hooked up on their U-verse service. And
you mean their cellular network, or...?
Well, it's not cellular. It's fiber optics right to the home.
Oh, okay.
And
so we ain't got none of that hereabouts.
Yeah, well, the thing is, in my area, and I'm in the San Francisco East Bay, the telco guys are telling me that the wire network is falling apart, and I believe that. They have sent over about 10 guys to my house and been sleuthing all around the lines. And, it's a joke because what's been happening is that when the weather gets cold, and especially if it's wet, I lose my phone service overnight when it's coldest and it's wet. And I've been at...
Well, that almost means, that almost guarantees that water's getting into the line somewhere, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. And, of course, they send somebody over, and the guy pokes around on the cable outside the house, up on the pole, and he goes somewhere else, and then he comes back, and he tries rerouting the service onto another pair of wires. And then I talk tech with these guys, and they're telling me that all the wires are shot and that the fancy $35,000 switching device that's in a vault somewhere... every circuit on this device is faulty. I mean, they have some amazing gear on their trucks. They have printers on the trucks.
Oh yeah.
They can run remote tests of all kinds. Fancy stuff.
But either you're out on the back deck screaming very plainly, and we're getting it via the system here, or your phone system is at least working now.
Well, see, what's happened is they've come over here like about 10 times. They have spent at least $1,000 sending people over here, and this, the problem still remains. But
and over the years, you've more than paid for that, so I wouldn't get all broke up about it.
But see, each guy they send over tries something else. So in the process of doing this, they've tweaked it here, they've tweaked it there,
and they've probably broken something that wasn't broken to begin with. I highly recommend in circumstances such as this that one look up a little piece by Mark Twain called My Watch.
Oh, I like that.
In which he takes his perfectly functional watch that he had forgotten to wind to a jeweler or a watchmaker to have the proper time set on it, because back in the day one did that. And just the comic effect of what happens when he puts the watch into the watchmaker's hands merely to have the time set, and everything goes to hell after that,
I believe it.
One watchmaker after another. She's making too much steam, it appears.
Yeah, I gotta read that. That sounds good.
My Watch by Mark Twain.
I've been. The thing about U-verse that is significant to me is that it's unregulated. AT&T just loves to get you with these bundled services. Like, you can have telephone, and you can have internet, and you can have this and that and the other thing, call waiting, you know, and of course, most of these things are not regulated. Dial tone is regulated. POTS is regulated. Plain old telephone service.
Yeah.
And they don't like regulation, these guys. So my internet provider is a small company located in Santa Rosa, California, and they provide excellent service. But they can't do anything for me because their stuff's got to travel over AT&T's lines. So I've got no choice. You know, the choice is between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Comcast is the alternative.
Yeah.
You know, who wants them? And this is what's called competition. So
yeah, otherwise known as a profit-based race to the bottom.
Yeah, well, there's a choice of two things. And it's really concerning me. So in the process of all this, you know, I use an old computer, and I like using an old computer, and I'm fed up buying computers all the time. I've had it. I can't afford it. You know, it's every time I get a new computer, then I have to get a new operating system, then I have to get another new computer to go with the operating system, that computer, you know, on and on and on we go. And I need to be very efficient with my old computer, which is a very good old computer. And I just went from, I've been using Firefox for quite a while. And I want something more efficient, and Opera had been recommended to me as my web browser. So I installed Opera, and it indeed is faster and more efficient. But guess what? Opera connects to Google with every load of a page. Opera tattles on you. Okay?
Yep.
Now, so they have a deal with Google. And, you know, Google is not really in the search engine business. They're in the spying business, aggregating data about Bob Kincaid. And it's really frightening.
That puts folks like me, who likes to do radio, and folks who like to listen to radio, in an unpleasant spot, because there's no way to do it without it.
Without what?
Without the internet. There's no internet radio without the internet, and you're going. The big question in the dawn of the internet age was, how will they ever make any money out of it? Information is value.
Right.
You know, it was Marshall McLuhan back in the late 60s who said the media is the message?
Yes, the medium is the message, yes.
And now I think that the 21st century corollary to that, Richard, is, and the information is the value.
Well, my bottom line here, and this goes really, double duty with Gmail, is that Google is watching you, and Google is assembling data about you constantly. Their free telephone service is mined for data. You know, they've got voice analysis software. About Gmail, they said so from the get-go. When they introduced the service, they said, we're going to be analyzing your posts. And that's where it's really at. I want these people out of my life. And I
just about the only way to do that, Richard, is to go live in a cave.
No, not necessarily.
I mean, that's a broad statement. I mean, you can certainly live in the world, but it is in the last 17 years, 20 years,
yeah,
it has become a very different world. And from time to time, it is absolutely nice to get away and go somewhere that it isn't. And just get reminded of what it was like not to be constantly wired in.
No problem with that. All I'm talking right now is about being spied upon, and who is the data being sold to? About, you know, the data, all they've got about Bob Kincaid. You know, where did Bob Kincaid go to search? And who did Bob Kincaid talk to? You know, what did they talk about? All this stuff. I mean, it is being harvested constantly. Google is the worst offender that I know of. You know, that is the business that they're in. That's why they spent $2 billion to buy DoubleClick, who was an egregious violator before that. And, you know, these are just my points that I've been discovering, because I use my firewall will tell me where my computer is calling out to. So I go to site A, and, you know, and Google's involved, especially, something called Google Analytics. If you're using a firewall, you may have a firewall that, you know, that can give you a report in real time of where your computer is calling out to, you know. You go to a site, man, I go to many sites, and I go to, you know, like the New York Times, and I get a live connection to Facebook that I didn't know about. I get a live connection to Amazon. I get a live connection to, who's that other social networking thing? My point is that your computer is calling out to these other places, and most people aren't aware of what's happening. If I go to certain sites, I will get an incredible amount of cookies recorded on my, you know, on my hard drive. I mean, a cookie is a recording. It's occupying space on your hard drive. You go to a site like, the New York Times, and the New York Times may record 5 cookies on your machine, maybe 10, 15, 20 cookies on your hard drive, and then every passenger on that site is recording cookies and looking at you. You know, every advertiser and services that you're not even aware of, and I can see these. You know, so if you're using Google, like there's an accessory called an extension, and the name of it is NoScript. And NoScript will show you who is on that page, who you're connected to. And I think it's really important for us to take steps to, to limit who our computers can go out and talk to. And these programs can help. They can block these connections. You know, I'm just saying, you know, I think that we need to protect ourselves.
And you know, that's the ongoing, that's the ongoing $64 million question.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, this coming from Onward to Dystopia out of the chat room, he suggests the site scroogle.org, S-C-R-O-O.
They're dead. They're dead.
They don't exist anymore?
Scroogle does not exist anymore. Just over the last few days, what Scroogle did was allowed you to use Google's database anonymously.
Right.
You could be tracked. And whenever Google changes their algorithm, Scroogle is out of, is dead in the water until they can adapt. But this time, they're out of business. Meanwhile, there are alternatives. So
it is an ongoing struggle, and it's the question about the struggle between mousetrap inventors and mice. You know, I got to get out of here though, Richard, because we are up against it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Good luck. Bye now. Bye. Our good buddy Richard calling from Northern California. And have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Back on Monday for what will be a hopefully fairly normal week. Thanks for your patience in my absence this week. And we'll talk soon. Thanks to everybody who makes the horn happen, our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.com.